Rescue Story. It's by Zach Williams. As followers of Jesus Christ, that's our story. We have been rescued. We've been set free. The Apostle Paul in Colossians, the first chapter, he says this: God rescued us from the dark power of Satan. Actually, we could almost just stop there. You know, God rescued us. That alone is probably the most encouraging news you could receive. Because of the cross, we've been rescued, set free. And it doesn't say that we might be rescued or that we're going to be rescued down the road. No, it says we have been rescued. It's a done deal. In the Greek, that word rescue means literally snatched to oneself. And it's really the idea of a young child that they run out in front of an oncoming car, and a parent sees the situation, immediately runs out, scoops the child up, and carries them out of harm's way. That's what God did for us. God snatched us. He snatched us out of harm's way through Jesus Christ. You know, Paul continues, he says, and brought us into a kingdom of his dear son. As a follower of Jesus Christ, not only have we been saved from something, but we've been saved to something. You know, not just snatched out of that kingdom of darkness and despair, but we have been rescued and brought into a brand new kingdom, fully and completely integrated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You know, we've moved from, Scripture says, one nation to another nation, which means that you learn the new culture, you learn the new values, you learn the language, and that is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, every Christ follower. That's what you received at your birth. The Holy Spirit works in us, works through us to bring us in to this new kingdom with new values. And as we integrate those values, which it's a process, but what happens is we become ambassadors of Jesus Christ in this world. We become ambassadors of this new kingdom. He says, who forgives our sins, talking about Jesus, who forgives our sins and sets us free. It's interesting that Paul, when he speaks about the new kingdom, he says, you know, that we've been rescued into this. But the first thing he points out is that it is a kingdom that's full of forgiveness and freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. You know, we're continuing our series, actually going to finish it up today, Shake It Off, and we've been talking about how we live in this world. And this world, it's interesting because people can be very offensive. And at the same time, we're easily offended, which I just find curious. We've been asking that God would search our hearts and show us where we're offensive and where we're easily offended, because we got to get a handle on that. And we've been asking God to help us shake off some things that we need to change, that things we need to shake off so that we can heal, so that we can live in a God-honoring way, and we can make a difference in this world and mark eternity. And today, what I want to focus on is a thing called forgiveness. You know, we experience forgiveness as followers of Jesus Christ. We stand in it, and we live in it. And I think to fully understand forgiveness, that we need to understand that there's two parts to it. There's the vertical part, you know, that part of forgiveness where we go, thank goodness, God forgives our sins. But we also need to understand there's a horizontal aspect. Forgive those who trespass against us. The vertical and the horizontal was taken care of. It's part of the works of the cross that Jesus died on. It's the redemptive power of Jesus, and the vertical and the horizontal are connected. And this is the part I think we struggle with. I think we all love the vertical part. But it's the horizontal that we kind of want to shake off, you know, let it go. Don't really want to go there. You know, one day Jesus was talking about forgiveness, and Scripture says this in Matthew 18. He says at this point, Peter got up the nerve. I find that funny. He had to kind of gear himself up. And he asked, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurt me? Seven?" Jesus replied, "Seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven." Now, FYI, because we got some math people out there, you've already done the math, it does not mean 490 times. It means limitless, unending. And then Jesus, because he knows they're not getting it, Jesus in his parable describes what this new kingdom of God's like. You know, he tells a story about a king that's settling his accounts and a guy that owes the king millions of dollars, but he defaulted on the loan. And so the king orders that the man and his family be sold to repay the debt. Now, you can imagine this guy that owes all this money, he starts pleading for mercy. You know, have patience with me. I'll repay the debt. I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. Just give me a chance. And apparently this guy's plea is so moving that the king forgave his debt completely. He released him and set him free. Jesus goes on in the story and he says, this guy with this newfound freedom, all of his debts forgiven, he leaves the presence of the king and promptly runs into a guy who owes him several thousand dollars. Now, if you're squeamish, cover your ears, you know, easily triggered, whatever. He seizes the guy, grabs him by the throat. He's choking him, and he goes, "Pay me what you owe me." And this guy begs for mercy. "Have patience with me, I'll repay the debt." But the man doesn't want anything to do with it. Instead, he has the guy thrown in jail until he could repay the debt. Now you can imagine there were people that saw this guy's debt forgiven and now he's doing this. They are outraged at this point. And so they run to the king. And the king reacts when he hears the story. Scripture says the king called in the man who had forgiven, he had forgiven, and said, "You evil servant, I forgave that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" The king rescinds the forgiveness of the debt, and he has that man thrown into prison till he could repay the debt. Jesus was driving a point here. The perspective of the man who owes several million and the guy that owes several thousand. It's pretty extreme, isn't it? Extreme difference between the two. And so when I'm reading, I'm thinking, why this huge discrepancy? Well, Jesus was being very intentional here. He wanted the disciples to realize the huge debt that they had before God, a huge debt of sin that they absolutely could not repay. They didn't have anything to repay it. And friends, you and I are in the same situation. There's no way. There's no good work. There's no religious deed that you can do to repay the debt that you owe. And that's why we needed a Savior, to pay the debt. A debt we could not ever, ever, ever repay. The man in the parable who owed the king, huge debt. The king had mercy on him. Can you imagine? He forgives this debt. He erases millions of dollars. And I think, what kind of person does that kind of thing? Well, God does. God forgave it all because of Jesus Christ. Now, yes, maybe someone owes you a debt. Maybe something cost you very dearly. You know, maybe someone hurt you. Maybe the pain's significant. You know, maybe someone broke your heart, you know, or treated you really badly. And friends, there's no excuse for what they did. Maybe someone owes you a debt that they could never repay. Never make it up to you. Never fix it. Never make it right. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, I know some of you want to stand your ground right now. Yeah, but you fill in the blank. I could forgive some things, but if you knew what they did, you would agree with me. I have a right to hold on to my anger. You know, I just can't forgive. Can't or won't. As long as you focus, hear this, as long as you focus on their debt, you will never let it go. Never. But if you get perspective here on the debt that you just can't shake off, and sure, several thousand, a lot of money, until you compare it to millions. Friends, it's the perspective of forgiveness, the perspective of mercy, the perspective of grace. It's a new value. It's a new perspective in this kingdom of God. I mean, how do we change? How do you shake off the hurt and the pain, the violation? How do you shake off the debt? How do you forgive? Now, I think first we've got to talk about mercy. And friends, mercy is more than an attitude that we have. It's more than feeling sorry for someone. Mercy is love in action. It's actually doing something. You know, mercy has to be doing. You know, the Bible says that God's merciful. The psalmist writes this, says, the Lord's merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. Now, a little heads up, so you know where we're going here. We're going to find out that the horizontal part, this, you and I, how we treat each other, is connected to the vertical part. If you give it, you get it. If you don't give it, you don't get it. And so let me ask you this. Are you a merciful person? In order to be merciful, you have to be patient with people that are different than you. And in fact, I believe into every life, some strange will fall. They're strange. You know why? Because they're different than you. And because they're different, they can be challenging, rub you the wrong way, make you uncomfortable sometimes, put you on edge. But get this, that uncomfortableness, two-way street. You feel different to them also. So I got to ask you, who's the odd one? I mean, how do you handle fragile people? How do you handle obnoxious people? Troubled people? Different people? You know, Paul says this. He says, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with what? Everyone. Are you patient with other people? You know, here's a few things I think that help us become patient. You know, that is one of the things, just take some time to learn somebody's background. You know, it's important to understand where people come from. How many times have you ever said, oh, that's why, you know, because you learned something about where they came from. And just that little shift in perspective actually helps you be more merciful, helps you be more patient. It helps you see beneath the surface, you know, to see beyond the differences. It helps you better understand someone. What you usually find are people that are hurting, lonely, people that are discouraged, you know, battling anxiety. You find people just like you, just like me. You know, Paul says this. He says, Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other. Merciful people are accepting. Not quick to criticize, not quick to dismiss, not quick to judge. Because when you realize different people really aren't that different, you actually begin to be more patient and more merciful. And as a result, get this, you actually become more forgiving of things because mercy and forgiveness are connected. You know, let me ask you, when somebody makes a mistake, lets you down, you know, what do you hold it over their head? Or do you shake it off and forgive them? And I know some of you go, but, well, I want to be in between. No, which one are you most like, A or B? This is a critical, critical issue because through the years, I have seen situations, relationships, where they could have flourished, but they were destroyed because someone wouldn't shake it off. Somebody wouldn't forgive, let it go. I've seen couples live with loveless marriages. I've seen children that are so, they just spin out with hatred and anger. And I've seen parents that destroyed their relationships with their children because they refuse to let something go and just forgive it. Friends, the price is high here. When you refuse to shake something off, it comes at a high, high cost. You know, Paul says this. He says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Here's what I figured out about forgiveness. It feels so right when you receive it. Yes? Yeah, we love it. Can't get enough of it. But it feels so wrong when I got to give it. I don't want to forgive. I want justice. Well, be very, very careful here. If you're going to increase your mercy quotient, so to speak, forgive those who stumble. Sympathize. Don't criticize. Shake it off. Forgive. Let it go. Friends, and I want to take this whole idea of mercy a little bit further. It's a little out of our scope today, but I think it's important we understand that mercy always takes action, always. When it's possible, it does something. You know, mercy doesn't just say, oh, I love people, people, oh, I love everybody. You know, it does something. You know, John Wesley, I like what he used to say, do all that you can by all the means that you can and all the ways that you can and all the places you can and all the times you can to all the people you can for as long as you can. That's mercy. That's grace. You're merciful when you do something to help people. You know, Jesus said this. He says, suppose someone has enough to live and sees a brother or sister in need but does not help. Then God's love is not living in that person. Ouch. My children, he's talking to you and me. We should love people not only with words and talk, but by our actions and true caring. Mercy involves practical assistance. You know, when you feel sorry for someone, you know, you look at a situation, you feel sorry for, you're not being Christ-like. It's when you do something that you're being like Jesus. You know, there are people all around you, I guarantee you, who desperately, desperately need mercy. They're looking for a word of encouragement. They're looking for someone to just lend a hand and help. You know, when you see someone struggling, hurting, I mean, how likely are you to step in and help? Or do you have a lot of cautions of, I don't know. Now I'm really going to challenge you. Because Jesus is going to raise the quotient big time. And he says, in fact, you need to do good to your enemies. What? You got to be joking. In fact, right now, some of you copped an attitude about this kind of attitude. What? He's kidding, isn't he? Nope. Jesus said this. He says, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. He's saying, the world does that. You know, they'll if you do good, I'll do good, you know. But he says, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward, what? Will be great. Jesus says that we're, as followers of Jesus Christ, to do good to our enemies. That's a challenge, isn't it? Society says, someone hurts you, strike back. Get even. Gossip about them. Seek and destroy. And God says, let it go, shake it off, forgive them, be nice. This week, some of you will be challenged. You'll be challenged when, who goes to work on this week? Who's heading to work? All right. Somewhere along the way, you're going to be challenged. But I want to suggest to you, when you head to work, return good for evil. Just like Jesus said. Why? Because that is really the way you eliminate the enemy. Kill him with kindness. You know that jerk at work? Constantly criticizing you. That person that annoys you, don't point. What would happen if every time they criticize you, you bit your tongue? You'd have a sore tongue, wouldn't you? But what if you bit your tongue and complimented them? I mean, what would happen if every time they put you down, you said something nice, something encouraging? Friends, it would blow their mind. It would shift the playing field. It would put you on the offense instead of being on the defense all the time. Mercy is love in action. You know, when it comes to your enemies, this is just a question. Are you more like the world, or are you more like Jesus? And I know mercy, it's a tough one. It's why we need something more. You know, we need something more than just the knowledge. It's not enough. Knowledge is not enough. You know, because I should is not enough. It will not get you there. But the motivation is that you remember God's mercy to you. The mercy that you've been shown by God is tied to the mercy that you show. Ooh, I don't like that. Christ followers, God expects you to do for others what he's already done for you. God, for everything you've done, you've been so kind and generous and merciful. God, I want to thank you for that. I'll show it by the way I live. I'll honor you. Friends, when I think of all the junk that God's put up with, all the stuff I've done when I've done my own thing, you know, gone my own way. When I think of all the disobedience in my life, all the stupid stuff that I've done through the years, I am just amazed that God continues to show me love and mercy and grace. Bottom line, I'm in debt big time. If God can be merciful to me, why can't I be merciful to other people? I've got to be. And I just remind you, I mean, this comes with a huge price. You got to understand this. You know, James says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. Let that one sink in. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. And that judging thing, that's not, are you in heaven or not heaven? It's really looking at your life and having to give an account for how you lived your life. Friends, this should motivate every one of us to a high degree. Some of the most unhappy people I know are people who are resentful. We talked about that last week, you know. People who refuse to shake it off, let it go. People who constantly keep people on the hook, you know. Refuse to forgive them. Most don't even realize, this is the crazy thing, they don't even realize they're hurting themselves in the process. You know, Proverbs 11th chapter, it says, you do yourself a favor when you're kind. If you're cruel, you only hurt yourself. You only hurt yourself. Doing acts of mercy gets the focus off of me, off of my pain, off of my hurt. You know, it involves me getting involved in other people's lives, you know, blessing other people with what I do. And when you start being patient with people who are challenging to you, when you start forgiving people for messing up, you know, just making a mess of everything, when you help people who are hurting, when you delete the enemy list, so to speak, let it go, shake it off, whatever. What you give, you get. I mean, so how do I become that merciful person? Well, friends, first of all, you have to experience the mercy of God in your life before you can ever offer it to someone. It's the same thing with forgiveness. You can't offer forgiveness until you feel forgiven yourself. Some of you have such a hard time forgiving because you don't feel forgiven. You've got to receive the mercy and the peace and the forgiveness of God before you can offer it to people around you. Otherwise, you're just going to battle your whole life. You know, when you break the law in the United States, there's a penalty, right? At least there's supposed to be. The same thing's true with God. When you break God's laws, and we all have, all of us, there's a penalty. Scripture says the wage of sin is death. That's the penalty. But Jesus Christ paid the price for sin. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin you're going to commit this week, every sin you will ever, ever commit has already been paid for. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you walk out of here. Clear conscience, clean slate. It's that way every day. You know, but after you take that step, some of you need to take that step and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. After you experience God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, you got to take a second step here. And you got to start looking at people with the eyes of Jesus. You got to start seeing people the way God sees them. I say all the time, you'll never look in the eyes of another person that does not matter to God. It's a change in your perspective. It's a change in attitude. And what you find as you begin looking at the world that way, you find that you're more patient, you're more forgiving, you're more caring, you're more accepting. Get this, you become more Christ-like. And so I just want to ask you something very simple here. Who in your life needs mercy? Who in your life is barely hanging on and you're keeping them on the hook? I mean, who in your life is dying for a reprieve? Who needs forgiveness around you? Because if you're going to be like Jesus, if you're going to be merciful, well, friends, you got to get busy. You got to start saying things and doing things that extend mercy. And it starts, you just got to shake some stuff off. You just do. Friends, I want Faith Fellowship to be a place of mercy. I want this to be a place where it's okay to be different. You know, where people are exceptionally patient with one another. I want this to be a place where people experience forgiveness and God's grace and God's love. And when they mess up, and they will, we all do, guess what we do? We shake it off. Because friends, it does not matter where you've been. What matters is where you're heading and where you're going. This is a place of grace and mercy. Will you be challenged? Sure you will. I'm challenged all the time. But if I'm going to fall down, I'm falling toward grace. I'm falling toward forgiveness. I'm falling toward what Jesus would do. That's my challenge to you. We've talked about a lot of topics. let's be people of mercy and grace. So the next time that post pops up, you're going to get them. Yeah, I'm going to get them. Grace, mercy, forgiveness. Next time somebody says something, tease you off, mercy, grace, forgiveness. Mercy, grace, forgiveness. Change the world. Mercy, grace, what? Mercy. Oh, we're getting better. Change the world. Change the world. Shake it off. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. God, help us to be people of mercy and grace and forgiveness. Those times when we're challenged, Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide us, humble us. God, let's get our eyes off of, help us get our eyes off of how we've been wronged, and let's focus on how wrong we've been. Give us the courage to push through that wall and to be Christ-like. God, help us to honor you with all we say and do. Guide us this week. May our words and our deeds just show the world what this new kingdom, Jesus Christ, is about. Help us to honor you. Forgive us when we fail. Help us to change the world. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said? All right, everybody, shake your hands like this. Shake it off. Shake it off. That's what we're going to do, and we thought this would be a good way to finish up, and so we're going to shake it off this morning.